Well, good morning, everybody. I have to say thank you for all of the hard workers at Wycliffe yesterday. We cleaned and we did other things. I don't even know what we were doing, but we were doing a lot of stuff. And I wanted to say thank you to each and every one of you. If I started naming people, I would forget someone. So thank you for giving to the Lord. Okay? That was amazing. Also, I want to let you know that this message today is going to conclude the Discovery Healthy Relationship series. And everybody said, hey, man, finally. But anyway, we have a little booklet on parenting in the 21st century. It's only $2. And questions that parents ask about, you know, raising children. And I've answered those to the best of my ability. For example, does yelling and screaming or instilling fear into your children a positive way to discipline them? The answer is no, but I put a whole paragraph on why it's no, okay? So that's one of the questions. And then about marriage, we have a bunch of questions about that. And then the newest one, is the Q&A about dating. Now, I'm gonna forewarn you, if you read this or take this home for your teenager, they won't like it, and they'll probably rip it. No, I'm just kidding. But there's 17 questions. For example, how soon should you tell a guy that you're not having sex until you're married? That's an interesting question. It's like, okay, no holds barred there. What else can you talk about? When dating a Christian man but realizing he's more consumed with his business and spiritual things, how do you maintain your focus? What about sex outside of marriage? Anyway, those questions are contained there. Might be a good tool for you to sit down and talk with your teenagers about, and good conversation points. Again, it's only $2, and I believe those are out in the foyer, okay? All right, was I supposed to do anything else? No? I am? No. Share the word. Okay, well, we can do that. Sometimes when I get up here, they're like, you were supposed to do it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot. That happens occasionally. All right, here's what I want to do. I want to introduce to you a message that I know it's not really kind of a normal message that you would hear on a Sunday morning, but the title is Single and Separated. So let me ask this question. How many in here are single? Okay. How many in here are married? How many in here aren't sure? Reason why I ask that is because I'm going to redefine what single is. And when God came to Adam, he said, Adam, it's not good that man would be single. No, that's not what he said. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. He never mentioned single. Actually, every one of us should be single. Even if you're in a covenant of marriage. You say, well, how does that work? Well, the generation we live in defines single differently than what I believe the Word of God does. So let me look at it. Romans chapter 12, would you like to join me? Verses 1 to 2, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified version of the Bible. It says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a, here's a good statement, decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devout, consecrated, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Now, this next phrase is very critical. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. Man, I wish I could preach on that, but I can't. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, our society defines single this way, as incomplete or alone. But there's a difference between being single and being alone. And I'm going to show you that in just a moment. Does anybody have their car keys with them? Can you flip them up here? Don't throw 10 of them at me. Just throw them up here. I can catch them. Oh, you don't think I can catch them, huh? Okay. The doink hit me in the head. All right, key rings. A lot of us have a key ring, most everybody here with multiple keys. And I want to show you something about this key ring, which is interesting because every key on it is single, even though it's joined. What I mean by that is just because it's attached to the ring doesn't make it conform to the ring. Because if it were to do that, it would lose its singleness or its purpose. In other words, the tumbler that's designed with this key cut match and will unlock potential. But it won't unlock a tumbler that doesn't match, correct? Have you ever had a key made and you try to work it? It's like, this isn't working. I got to go back and say, these keys aren't any good. And this doesn't work, right, Tony? We know about that. So this doesn't work. So we know just because you're attached to the ring doesn't mean that you are conformed. Attaching it to the ring, you must maintain your purpose even though you are together. Now, let me throw these back to you. Doink. Okay. Each key has its unique and separate whole purpose, and the key didn't lose its purpose when it was joined to the ring. Each one of us are single. And I'm going to define three specific definitions or points that create singleness in the presence of God that we are to never lose. No matter what ring we get on. I'm not going to be on your ring and lose my singleness. Because then I've lost my purpose. I can't open the door or open the lock that I was designed to unlock if I lose my cut, my singleness. And in this society in which we live, there is a blending of uniqueness or cut. We're conforming to a standard that's in the world that is general, that only opens one particular lock. And it's called self. Whereas if you maintain your uniqueness in God, you have the ability to create entry, unlocking the tumbler, moving the tumbler that unlocks the kingdom of God, the uniqueness of God. And you do that together because marriage never completes a person, only complements a person. So if you're looking to be completed, get that out of your mind. Maintain your singleness. Come to the altar at your singleness and understand you're going to be complimented. You know, something I've found out about weddings, and I've done a lot of weddings over the years, and I'm not very good at it, but, you know, I've learned how to do them, and I just do them. It's part of what the preacher does. But I noticed something about weddings. People come to the wedding rehearsal different, the wedding party comes to the wedding rehearsal different than they do when they come to the wedding. Have you ever noticed that, Betty? By the way, Betty Sloan is back in the house after her surgery. I would say stand up, Betty, but she's still on her little stroller. She's like, It's great to have her back. But I notice on the rehearsal, they'll come in shorts. They'll come in jeans, t-shirts. They'll walk through everything. Then on the day of the wedding, the guy's coming in tuxedos. The bride is dressed in this beautiful gown, long veil, hair made up, nails, you know, the whole nine yards. And the girls are complimenting the wedding. They're in different colors and beautiful array, and they're all matching. But then the next day, they go back to t-shirts, jeans, and shorts again. Why is that? Because a marriage doesn't change who you are. You will go back to how you came into it after the event. So this is what we want to consider today. We want to look at a couple of these things. And I see people fanning themselves. Maybe we need to turn the air conditioning back up. Somebody can do that. That'd be great. No? You're good. Don't let me ask that question. How many are hot? Let me see your hand. How many are cold? How many are just right? Okay, leave it where it is. I don't know. I'm just trying to be a blessing. I've been in church a long time, and it's like, can't please everybody, right? All right. I aim to please, though. I'm sorry. Okay, so singleness is where everything begins. Here's a definition of singleness that I want you to get in your mind. To be separate and unique and whole. If you're single, you're separated, you're unique, and you're whole. Keep that definition up there. Separated, unique, and whole. Getting into a relationship with someone should never separate you from your uniqueness with God, nor your purpose or gifting of God, nor your wholeness with God. You maintain your singleness. Now, we need to identify what characterizes my life. I need to know what makes me me. What makes you who you are? You have characteristics that make you who you are, and they are God-given, infused into your life. They are given to you. And they are for the purpose of complementing another. Meaning that when I come into relationship, I do not forsake who I am in order to try to please you, to keep you in a relationship. Because I'm not trying to complete you, nor am I asking you to complete me. I'm going to compliment you. You need me to be who I am. Now, like the keys on the ring, no relational tie, please listen, no relational tie should ever change your singleness, purpose, or your character. And oftentimes you'll see this. Young people will date, and they were never into rock and roll or hard rock, or they never took drugs, or they never painted their nails black, or whatever. You can use any illustration. But now that they're dating this person, now suddenly the things that were important to them, like their pet at home or their school or their family activities, suddenly is no longer important because the person that they're with is changing them into someone that they never lived like before. They're being changed by people. They're being changed by environment. That's why going into a relationship, you must and I must discover our singleness with God. Well, let me help you with that. I don't think Adam got up in the morning and went, oh, wow, I just hope I can find me a wife today. I'm just missing something in my life. I need to be completed. Hey, God, send me a woman. I don't even know what that is, but send me one. He didn't do that. What was Adam doing every day? Three things that characterized Adam's day that caused him to be single. Number one, he talked and walked with God. The Bible said that God would meet Adam every day and they would talk. He would talk things over with God. How do you become single? You have a direct line of communication with God established in your life. You don't go, you don't do unless you've conversed with God about it and you feel the witness to do or to go. Number two, what else? He tended and he kept the garden. In other words, Adam understood his assignment. He knew what he was called to do. And he did it. He tended and he kept. That was his focus every day. I'm going to be focused on my assignment. Number three, what else did he have? He was given dominion. What does that mean? Dominion over some things, dominion over all things. He was given dominion. In other words, he wasn't controlled by his anger. He was able to control those emotions because of his singleness. So when you get engaged or you get in, not engaged literally, ring thing, but when you become relational with someone, dating, if you will, secularly, dating is anything but platonic. Dating in this generation is usually sexual, romantic, and attracted by characteristics and traits that move me. However, dating is really primary for one purpose: discover character. I want to know your character, and I want it to remain platonic. And I'll give you a definition of that in just a minute. But notice God did not say, it's not good, Adam, for you to be single. He says, it's not good for you to be alone. In your quest to talk with me, in your quest to fulfill your purpose and your tending and keeping, and in your dominion, you can be complimented and you will become attractive to others who are single. A fast car doesn't necessarily get the girl. And too low of a blouse doesn't necessarily get the guy. Okay? At least not the right one. You could probably get some guys. Right? And you'll probably get some girls if you got the fast car. But if you want the marrying kind, if you want the covenantal kind, you want the kingdom-minded person, you must become single. Because single-minded people with the three attributes that are, number one, you talk to God. Number two, you tend and keep. You have your assignment established. And number three, you have dominion. That singleness attracts other people of the same singleness. And they complement each other. However, if you're single-minded and you find yourself engaged into a relationship of a person who is not single, you won't complement with each other, you'll compete with each other. And competition causes breakdown. See, in 2 years from now, you'll be calling me. If you're calling me, say, Pastor, can we get marriage counseling? And I'll say, well, you should have listened to the sermon. No, I won't say that. I'll see Pastor Lowell. He'll tell you all that you need to know. What God was really saying to Adam was this, and I think this is on the slide. I'm going to make another unique, whole, and separated person, bring the two of you together for mutual companionship on the same level. On the same level. You know how many times I've heard from wives, my husband, he's just not where I'm at spiritually. Was that just a recent discovery? I'm not even going to go there. Just asking. Okay? So too many think a marriage is what they need to feel complete and whole. And if the person isn't operating in their singleness in God, they'll never be complimentary to you. Let's talk about dating. Can we? You want to talk about dating? All right. I guess I'm going to anyway. Dating is defined this way: the opportunity to gather information on your character. Dating is an opportunity for me to know your character. It's a discovery of your character, and the focus is in communication. Focusing in communication simply means this: communication is 90% listening and understanding, not talking. So in my dating, if I'm in a platonic relationship, dating, platonic, that's all, my focus is to get to know your character, discover your character. And, like, for example, we pull through and we get some Taco Bell, and they give you back too much change. Do you say, praise the Lord, look what God blessed me with? I need to know that. Because that tells me something about your character. Say, why is that important? Because if you will steal from Taco Bell before we're married, I'm not sure what you're going to try to take from me after we're married. So I want to discover character. I want to know your character. If you disrespect your mother, you talk disrespectful to your mother. Now, I know what's going to happen after the marriage. If you think you get away with her, you think you're going to get away with me. See, so I already know that you're not marrying tight. You're not the marrying kind. I don't walk in relationship on a covenant level with people who don't have character. If you disrespect your mother, you're going to disrespect me. He said, no, he won't disrespect me. He loves me. Here's a dime. Call me in 2 years. You'll need counseling. All right, here we go. Oh, more 20 cents, whatever it is now. I don't know. Used to be a dime. Character is this. The willingness, watch. So I'm going to be dating. I'm saying I'm in this platonic relationship to discover your character. And this is what I'm looking for. The willingness to do right when you have the opportunity to do wrong. I want to know, will you do right when you have the opportunity to do wrong? When no one's looking, you can't get caught, will you still do right? I need to know that. Because that's what true godly character is. So I'm looking for that in this relationship. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, bad company corrupts good morals. You will not change her, she will change you. You will not change him, he will change you. Bad character corrupts good character. Well, he's not saved yet, but I believe God told me I'm supposed to marry him, and he's coming along. He's coming to church with me. Baby, please. You're losing your singleness. You're losing your walk and talk with God every day, your assignment over what he's given you to tend and keep, and number three, to have dominion. Your emotions are having dominion over you. 1 Corinthians 5:9, in this letter I wrote to you previously, I made it clear that you are not to band together with those who embraced immoral lives. Here's something about dating. Never permit a physical attraction to develop into a sinful state. Worldly dating cares nothing about character, but only superficial traits of body measurements and beauty. And he looks like that singer. Oh my gosh, he's so handsome. But he has no character. So here's platonic. It's a little definition. I don't know if it's the right one. I came up with one. All right, here we go. A platonic relationship is the genuine love the other person inspires in the mind and the soul and results in one's attentiveness to spiritual things, non-sexual. In other words, a platonic relationship in dating is when I'm with you, I feel inspired to love Jesus more when I leave you. That's platonic. That's on the level of what dating ought to be. It's to discover character. It's to hone my skills in communication so I can learn to be a good listener. I can be a good friend. And I'm investing in my future. Anything outside of platonic is not healthy for your teenager. I know teenagers aren't going to like me. But I'm trying to help you. Because 10 years from now, you'll feel differently about things. Because the world right now is pressing you into an ideology and an approach in relationships that are non-biblical. The guy's retired now. I forget his name. He used to be on the late night shows. The guy that did the top 10 thing. Letterman, David Letterman. I've got top 10 dating guidelines. Number 10. Do you want to hear it? Okay. Here we go. Number one. Establish and maintain a friendship focuses on communication. So in a platonic relationship, I'm discovering your character and I'm focusing on communication. This really works in all relationships. Not just that you're hoping to marry someday. In a relationship with other couples, say you're married, you're single, you're complimenting each other. You want to hang out with other people who are single and complimenting each other. Because let me tell you what will happen. If you as a couple are single and you compliment each other, single constituting those three things, you talk and walk with God, you tend and keep your assignment, and number three, you your dominion. If you don't establish friendships with other single-minded people, they will corrupt you. I didn't write the Bible. It says bad company corrupts good morals. So this is in relationship to whoever you connect with. So don't so think, well, I'm not here. I'm already married. I don't need to even be here today. You have to understand something about your relationships. To focus on communication, understanding, and listening, and also to know that they have to be single-minded. So number one. Number two. Here we go. Number two. Avoid discussions other than platonic. In other words, I don't need to know how many kids you want. How many kids do you think you have? Do you have any objections spiritually about contraceptives? Why is that? No. Character. That's outside the boundary of the platonic relationship. We don't talk about those things. And let me say this. There are two places you can touch a girl. Her elbow and her shoulder. Period. In other words, no physical touching or petting. Pastor, you're taking all the fun out of dating. That's not dating. That's called marriage. I have yet to see a young man lose his control of his passions touching a woman's scaly elbow. Hey, baby, let me feel your elbow. Okay. Number three. Should I back up? You okay? Number three. Avoid flirting. Avoid flirting. What does flirting mean? Flirting is sometimes verbal and nonverbal. Flirting can be the way you look at someone else. Your body language can be flirtatious. You avoid flirting. It doesn't have any room in a platonic dating relationship. You don't drop hints of romantic feelings. In other words, you don't say, baby, you don't know what you're doing to me right now. You lighting the fire. No, we don't talk like that. You say, yeah, but there's a fire in there. Well, go take a cold shower. You are not allowed. That's conversation. It's not permitted. Okay, that's number three. Number four. All right, you're not going to like this one either, but here we go. Absolutely no isolation. You want to go to the movies? We all coming. Me and Tina. Tell my grandkids, oh, you going to the movies? And so are we. What time does it start? We're all going. We're all hanging out together. In other words, no isolation. And I'm going to go a little bit further with that. Why? Because your family and friends can see what you can't. And I've seen this a lot. I'm like in the parking lot, and I see the woman or the wife or the girlfriend or whatever, go get in a car, and the dude walk in, get in his own car on his side and not open the door for the female. I mean, it makes me want to go, hey, go open her door. She don't even know that. She don't even see it. She's just glad she's in the car with her. But I'm your daddy. He's going to open that door. Honey, don't you let no man treat you like that. You stand there and you wait. I mean, Tina did this to me early on. She'd be like, I'm in the car. I'm like, get in the car. You remember that? She was standing outside the car. I'm like, what you doing? Get in the car. She said, no. I said, really? So I'm get out of the car, slam, walk over. Okay, get in the car. Thank you. I swear she did that to me. Now I do it all the time. I'm scared of her. Okay, no isolation. Friends and family can see what you cannot. Number five, don't change who you are. Integrate the person into your life, who you are. They don't like who you are, where you go, what you do. You don't need them in your life. Because what they want to do is put you on their key ring and change the cut to only open their lock. God didn't make you to be that way. God made you to be unique. God made you to be separate. God made you a special gift. Don't let anybody change you or conform you into their lock system. All right? So don't change who you are. Invite them into your world and observe how they fare in your world. Now, I used this earlier this morning. You may not have heard it, Mary, but I said, when Emily came into Dominic's life, the family got into Emily's life. I mean, we're casual about it. Just checking her out on Facebook and be my friend on Instagram. Let me see what you're posting. Remember the first day she came? They came from Texas. They drove up. We were all excited. All 24 of us met them. I swear. We were at Mary and Adrian's house. They had this horseshoe driveway. 12 of us were standing on one side of the driveway, 12 on the other. As they were pulling up, we were like, she got out of the car. We're like, Emily, we love you. You're so beautiful. We're like, let me take a good look at this girl. We were looking. Remember, we were looking at her. We fell in love right away, but she was under observation. Why? Because we can see things Dominic will never see. And I looked at Dominic. I said, Dominic, you one blessed boy. Because you married way up, buddy. Now, Dominic's lovely, but Emily's lovelier. Okay, number six. Girls, please let the man pursue you. Don't be standing at his car when he gets off work. You're standing there like this. Hi, I just happened to be, you know, walking. Don't be standing in his car when he gets off work. Let him pursue you. What do you mean by that? He calls you to go get ice cream on Wednesday. So I can't do it Wednesday, but maybe Friday. Make him call you back. Now, I know that's a risk because he may not. But if he does, it'd be like, oh, he just called. Hi. Now, girls, drop us a little bit of hints. A little bit of perfume stuff, you know, so that we don't lose our heart. But the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good. Thing is not in the original. Ain't no woman a thing. I don't know, King James ought to be slapped for that one. You ladies are not things, right? Okay, you read that in the Bible, you say, I take offense to that. And you can because that's in italicized. It's not in the original translation. He who finds a wife finds good. So that means a man has to find her. That means he has to pursue her. There's nothing wrong with that. And Tina's taught me that. You need to pursue me. I'm like, okay. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 18:22. Make him work. Make him work. Yeah, if you want this, you better work. I'm worth you working for. I mean, you can work for me. Set boundaries verbally. Okay, Bubba, two things. Elbow, shoulder. You got any problems with that? Go see the pastor. In other words, set boundaries verbally. I don't do sex on the first date, second date, third date, 15th date. Sex is for marriage. I do that when we're in covenant. And just consider every sexless time we're together as an investment. Your abstinence is an investment in our honeymoon. And you're going to love it. But right now, you can't love nothing. All right. I know this is going, these are all crazy, but I'm going to give you one more. Do daylight dating times only. We're going to the movies. What time do they start? 10:05? I mean 10:05. You'll be in bed by 10:05. Oh, we're just going to go to the movies at 10:05. It's the 3D one. We're going to go. We're going with a bunch of friends. You know you're lying. You ain't going with friends. Now, in the wintertime, that means you're dating platonic character discovery times are up at 5. Because it get dark at 5. It means this relationship is over. Now in the summer, you get to go to 9. You get to go to 9. Because crazy things happen when the dark time comes. People say, well, I don't know. I got in this fight. This man jumped me. I said, what happened? Where were you? Oh, I was in this bar. I said, you were? Yeah, this guy was hitting on my girlfriend. I said, what time was it? It was 1 in the morning. See, should have been home in bed. Things like that happen at dark time, right? Okay, so do daylight dating times. Go to breakfast together. Hey, hi, how you doing? I was just wondering if I could discover your character a little more and enjoy our platonic relationship and practice and hone my skills on communication. You got time for Bob Evans at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning? I'm like, what? Always take your brothers with you. Always take your brothers with you on one of these expeditions. Okay? Their names are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If they don't go, you don't go. Make it plain. My brothers are coming with me. And when you go to get in the car, you put your brothers between you and him. Get that Bible, lay it right there. Say, sweetheart, you do not jump over my brothers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Number 8. I feel like I'm living in the 1800s. All right, here we go. Number 8. Do not view sexually oriented TV programs or movies together. Okay, girls, if you don't know anything about 18 to 22-year-old boys, they're like, you went, were you looking at that woman? I wasn't looking at that woman. Yes, you were. I saw you looking at that woman. Why are you looking at that woman? You're with me. Because I'm 18 to 22. And when I see something, I can get aroused just like that. So here you are. You're sitting in a movie. People are naked on a screen. And they're engaging in sexual relationship. And you're sitting together in the movie house. And you tell me what he's thinking about. Not your elbow. Pretty soon he's like, go see Angry Birds or Zootopia or Jungle Book or something. Okay. I only have 2 more and this is going to be over. Aren't you happy? Number 9. Avoid all forms of foreplay. Keep your tongue in your mouth. And if you kiss, practice this. Lips are closed. Don't try to bite my head off. And kissing? Not sure about that either. But if you do, keep your mouth shut. You say, well, I can't open my mouth. They do that on TV. That's exactly the reason. Number 10, this is last. This is the last one. Watch. When you date, watch. Watch how he treats his mother. Watch how he responds to his father. Watch how he respects his younger siblings. Watch how he relates to his peers. Watch. Watch how she works around the house and does her chores, or how she complains about her parents. Watch. Be observant. Be listening. Be looking. Because that reveals character. And it reveals attitude that's going to come into this covenant. Then you're going to have to deal with it. And then you're going to want me to do free counseling to help you out. And you know what? I'm not untangling that web. Do it now. Do it now. And even some of us who are in covenant relationship that weren't single before you got into it and haven't maintained your singleness, you can repent and get back to it right now. In other words, are you full? Are you walking and talking with God every day? I mean every day, not just, well, every once in a while. No, every day, are you talking with God? Do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? All right, then let's get that back in our life. Number two, are you tending and keeping your assignment? What is your assignment for God? What does he tell you to do? What job has he given to you in the kingdom? Are you doing that? No, let's get back to it. Number three, do you have dominion? Do you have dominion over your emotions? Do you swear and cuss outside of church? Some swear and cuss in church. Man, that sermon's a blankety blank long time he's been preaching. I've had people swear at me. They did. They swear right in front of me. I'm like, oh, you just swore in front of me. So we need to get that working again. Why? Because you're not complimenting him. You're competing with him. You're not complimenting her. You're competing with her. So watch. Number two, wait. Wait on the voice of the Holy Spirit. Look for character flaws and then decide, can I live with these? Because here's the thing, they're going to be magnified 10 to 100 times after the wedding. If you can't live with them now, get ready. They're going to get big later. And I know from my experience, and I used to do, I told you the pastor I came up under, I got there and he said, I hate marriage counseling. He said, you're doing all the marriage counseling. I said, I don't know anything about it. He goes, just get in there and just tell them about the Bible. I said, okay. And I was doing 4 to 6 to 8 counseling sessions a day for years on marriage counseling. And a lot of the problems were because they weren't coming in whole. They were coming in broken. They weren't coming in single. They were coming in with needs that were outside of their parameters of hearing God's voice, true to the assignment of God in their life, and having dominion in their life. It's a recipe for disaster to have two people that are out of control to come together. It's a recipe for disaster. Number four, or three, last of the wait, watch, wait, and then number four, three, wonder. And my time's just up. Something just ding. Ding. Did you hear that ding? Time is up. Okay. Wonder. Wonder. Live in wonder. Live in wonder. Wonder of God's plan for your life. I believe a person who's single like that with those three characteristics, what are they again? Number one is? Talk to God. Number two, what is it? Tending. Maintaining your assignment. Number three? Have dominion. Person who is single in that is attractive to other singles. People are not attract rebels. People who are not attract bad apples. You attract what you are. If you're not single, you're susceptible to attract anything that's going to be destructive in your life. So you got to attract. To attract single-minded. See, God did this. when Adam was single, he said, I'm going to give you somebody that's going to compliment you. I'm going to give you Eve. It's interesting. God brought Eve to Adam and said, what you think, man? Look, hey, look, Adam. Look what I did. And Adam said, "Whoo-wee, flesh my flesh, bone of my bone. She's exactly like me. She is single in her purpose. She is single in her walk with God. She is single in dominion. She's just like me. Man, we can tear this place up. God said, she's your help meet. Help to do what? To meet the expectation of conversation with God, tending and keeping, and having dominion. There's times Tina has to help me with having dominion. There's times I have to help her, very rarely, more the other way. There's times that we complement each other, but I can't change her. She has her own talk with God. She has a walk with God. She has an assignment from God. Who am I to impose that on that? Well, you can't do that. That's what some men do. You ain't going to church. You ain't tithing. No, wait a minute. I came to this single. The problem is I attracted a knucklehead. See, you can't get in that kind. You way up on the dating platonic age, you saw character flaws. That should have been the red flags that said, stop it now. Do not proceed. This is it. Stop it right there. Okay, I want to pray for people who want to discover their true singleness. All you have to do is sit there and receive the prayer. If that's you today, you want to become truly single before God, whether you're in a marital covenant or not, I mean truly single before God. You may be a teenager. You may be a person who's gone through a divorce once or twice. It doesn't matter. Singleness, you want to discover singleness before God with the three characteristics, and you really desire to walk in that. I believe the Holy Spirit will answer your prayer. Father, I'm asking right now for those that's hearts are attuned to this, not because I preached it, not because I said it, but because you have called us to these things. Even as Adam was created, so you have created us to follow in the same template, the same format. I pray now, God, answer their prayer in Jesus' name. Secondly, I want to pray for people who are desiring godly relationships. You may be now in your life not married. You're not in a covenant relationship. But you're asking God to bring to you an Eve, bring to you that complementary peace. And so right now I'm just going to pray for that. Father, for those that are wanting to be in a marital covenant relationship, I just ask now, God, that you would bring the right fit to them. Help them understand the standard by which they live is the standard or the template by which they will receive. And I just ask you now, God, that they would not compromise in any way, but bring them the right complementary peace. And I ask that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, all that's predicated on this one thing. It's predicated on whether or not you are saved. You can't be single with God unless you are in covenant with God. How do I become in covenant with God? Well, you have to receive Christ as your Savior. You repent of your sin. You ask him to forgive you. You ask him to come into your heart. And then from that point, you purpose to, number one, talk with God. Number two, be faithful to the assignment. Number three, to have dominion. And the Holy Spirit will give us that empowerment. God is a powerful God. How many know he is? Do you know he's a powerful God? God can do that. God can change a life. So you might be here today and you say, you know, I'm not even saved. I need to give my life to Christ. Would you pray for me? I absolutely would pray for you. I saw that man that I went to school with at the altar call this morning, just a few hours earlier, came up for prayer. He's crying. He's reaching out. He's literally reaching out to me. He said, I need help. I said, we're here to help you. That's why we're here. And you may be in that situation today that you need help. But you know what? That's why we're here. God is here for you. So don't go out the door and head to Burger King and get a salad and go home and hope the Cavs win. Let's make priorities first thing first. If you were to die today, do you know whether or not you'd go to heaven or hell? Do you have any idea? You can know today. The Bible says these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. So let's know. Let's get God into our hearts. So your heads are bowed just for a second. Let me ask this question. You need that prayer. You need to start out single with God. You need to say, you know what? I need to give my life to Christ. Pray for me, Pastor. I need Jesus in my life. On the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand so I can see it and identify it. I just want to pray with you. It's an act of faith that you're reaching up and reaching out to God. That's all it is. All right, you ready? All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Thank you. You can put them down over there on that side. How about in the middle? Anybody else? Just lift your hand up so I could see it. Okay, anybody else? Is that everybody? Okay, there was two or three people that raised their hand. All right, altar ministers, would you join me in the front? Everybody just look up. We're just gonna celebrate Jesus here for a minute, and we're gonna pray for people who need this prayer. Now, you came here struggling. This is a place of help, and we want to pray with you. We want you to know you're not alone, and it's not over till it's over, okay? And God says it's not over. So have faith and have hope, and we want to pray faith and hope into your life. So if you've been going through a really difficult time, man, I'm telling you, come for prayer. So let's all stand, please. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's a good place to worship right there. Thank you, Father. 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 So you need prayer. I want you to come right now. Just step out from where you're standing. Join one of these at the front. And let's just believe God to do miraculous things in your life, all right? God will do it. I pray. God will do it for you. Now, don't forget Wednesday night. We started 1 hour of prayer. Jesus said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? The prayer Wednesday night was so powerful. We did it again on Thursday night in the West. We want a family to come and light the flame. Who did it? Marcus, you did it, didn't you guys? Yeah. They lit the flame. It's called lighting the flame. We want you to come light the flame as a family. It signifies our hour of prayer and intercession. At the end of that time, we put the fire out, but we let it burn in our heart. I'm asking you to join in prayer with us. Now, I'm going to ask you a kind of a funny question. How many believe in the power of prayer? Everybody. Then why don't you come and pray with us? You say, I'm busy. You're not too busy. Let me get a little bold here. You're not too busy. Come and pray. 1 hour. It's all it takes. 1 hour. Agreement prayer. Powerful prayer. I'm telling you, it was amazing. And we'd like for you to come and be a part of it. Okay? All right. Everybody got up here that needs to get up here? All right. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday night. 6 o'clock. Be friendly with somebody. Bless somebody. We'll see you next time.